a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast. We stack the card each week. These are the games that, for me at least, carry the most intrigue, kind of in an ascending order here. We stack it like a wrestling card. This week, in honor of it, to give it a little bit more flavor, we're going to add some theme music to each of the sections of this.
Oh.
Yeah, a little entrance music for wrestlers that correlate with these certain parts of the card. And these are the actual wrestlers that Nick Caserio named when he was on with us a week or so ago as his favorite wrestlers in ascending order. But we start with the undercard. We do LA Knights. LA Knights theme will run underneath this. The undercard are the kind of, you know, the games that are flying a little below the radar. Maybe not two teams with very good records, but there's good storylines here. The Jets and the Patriots, I am intrigued by because we've got a team that fired its coach a couple of weeks ago, and we've got another team whose coach seems to be teetering on the brink right now a little bit.
Yeah.
Former phenom Gerard Mayo,
yeah,
as it turns out, might not be very cut out for this coaching thing, according to many up there.
Even though he was hand-selected by Bob Kraft as many as five years ago. Yeah.
So, this is a that's the storyline coaching wise. We've got an interim coach with the Jets going against a hot seat coach with the Patriots. This is a game the Jets absolutely positively have to win if they're going to retain any hope. If they're going to retain any hope of getting into the postseason. And I'm telling you, you're a Texan fan and you're rooting for an outcome in this game. Root for the Patriots because this if the Jets lose this game, that's a season killer. Like that's a dream killer, and that's the version of the Jets. You will not get a desperate version of the Jets on Thursday. You will get a our season is over version of the Jets on Thursday.
I'm pulling for the Jets in this game, and they are heavy favorites in this game.
As they should be.
Almost a touchdown favorites. Just because I really want to see Bob Kraft, who has reportedly been jealous of Jerry Jones forever and the fact that Jerry Jones gets all this credit for revolutionizing the league and everything. I'm looking forward to Bob Kraft becoming Jerry Jones, but with less revenue.
Mm-hmm.
I think if there's one thing that we've seen so far in the last couple years, it's that the brand, the Patriots brand, is just light years away from ever being the Cowboys brand.
Oh, yeah.
And there's nothing you can ever take away from Belichick and Brady unless you want to focus on Spygate or anything else like that. But, like, their record is what it is, and they did incredible things. And but the owner, who should be able to capitalize on all those championships and turn it into a brand, it seems like the Patriots are just an afterthought in New England.
Yeah.
They're just kind of a blasé, like, whatever. We're not really a football town anyway.
Right. Well, Boston sports fans are on to other things. Their championship basketball team just started their defending the championship season on Tuesday this week. You know, they're on to that, you know?
The other part of it is that there's a part of me that I would love to really see, just for the purity of it and the enjoyment of good football, I'd love to see a resurgence by Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that Aaron Rodgers has thrown 6 interceptions in the past 3 games.
Yeah, he might not be good anymore.
That's the worst stretch he's ever had for interceptions in his career.
Yeah.
Does Devontae Adams make a difference? But does Hassan Reddick make a difference on the other side of the ball?
A little Hassan Reddick action back, yes.
And already formidable Jets defense gets Hassan Reddick back this week.
As games between 2-5 and 1-6 teams go, this one's got some pretty juicy storylines. Mm-hmm. Plus, it's the Texans' next opponent, and so there's that component to it as well. The other undercard matchup, Baltimore at Cleveland. This will be the first game post-Deshaun Watson for the Cleveland Browns. We get a Jameis Winston start here. We get Baltimore coming off just a complete annihilation of the Buccaneers on Monday night, and this always has a little bit of juice because the Ravens are the zombie Browns. You know, they used to be the Browns, and now they're the Sith Lord Browns. You know, they're Darth Brown. You know, so there's always that element to it as well, that storyline.
The Browns, the one good thing the Browns have going for them right now is that their run defense is actually really good.
Okay.
So the Derrick Henry dynamic of, and I think Derrick Henry was held to 60 yards rushing or something the last time that he faced the Browns last year.
Okay.
Normally that might be, and I've seen that build as the marquee matchup in this game. The problem is that the Ravens also have Justice Hill, who's been the best running back receiver in terms of explosive plays in the league this year. You saw that on Monday night.
Sure.
I mean, the entire second quarter was more about Justice Hill than it was Derrick Henry.
Yep.
And then Derrick Henry comes in the second half to really just slam the door
bludgeon
shut
them
on the Bucs.
Yes.
Yeah. The 1-2 combo of those guys, that's the scary thing. And then obviously you add Lamar Jackson to the mix. What's the line in this game? Are the Ravens favored?
Ravens got to be favored. I would guess
12.
No, I don't think by that much. The Ravens have got to be favored. I'll look it up. I'll find it, Seth. But yeah, your Ravens are
favored by eight and a half.
Okay, eight and a half. Yeah, so they're more than a touchdown on the road. Does Jameis give them a little bit of juice? It maybe keeps this thing close. You know,
God, I can't take another Jameis Winston speech.
Oh, I want the Texans to sign Jameis now just to see how you handle this whole thing.
We're going to get another one. We'll get at least one pregame, and we'll get whatever he says in the postgame. It's going to be super dramatic.
Yeah.
Awesome.
All right, let's get to the mid-card. Is it flush Jameis?
I kind of miss drunk Jameis. I would just go back to being drunk.
I don't know. I like this version. All right, we see CM Punk music, the mid-card. Buffalo at Seattle. This is a matchup between two division leaders right now. I know everybody probably is like, yeah, Buffalo, division leader. That makes sense. Seattle? Yeah. Seattle's leading the NFC West right now with a 4-3 record. This is a pretty intriguing game between two teams that don't see each other very much and are complete opposite ends of the country from one another. This is a fun matchup. The Seahawks offense, they can score some points, man. And Josh Allen going out there playing in that environment, in that noise. This is a nice AFC versus NFC matchup.
And that noise and the Buffalo offense hasn't been good on the road, as we noticed.
As we know firsthand.
As we noticed, yes. Which is still, it's like, okay, they haven't been great. They average 21 points per game on the road. So it's not like they just dreadful and abysmal, but they haven't been as high powered. And that is it's a hard place to play out there in Seattle. So, yeah, Amari Cooper being in the offense for an entire week. It not probably having to be fed information by Keon Coleman and everything pre-snap.
Right.
That's where it might get really, really interesting for the Bills. This is like Josh Allen and the way he's playing this year. He hasn't thrown an interception yet, but Josh Allen will be the first to tell you that, yeah, I have.
Probably should
I've gotten
have,
lucky.
Yeah,
yeah, like I threw two interceptions in a row to the Texans.
To Aziz Al-Shire, of all people. Yeah.
Yeah. So he actually said that. He said, no, I've thrown some interceptions. Yeah. I've just gotten lucky.
Yeah.
So this is a real test of on the road in a really hard place to play, but you've got Amari Cooper now.
Yeah, so it's kind of a sneaky 3 o'clock window, 4 o'clock window game. I kind of like it. The other mid-card game, Philly at Cincinnati. For a 4-2 team... I don't know what to make of Philly. Like, their fans hate them right now, it feels like.
They hate
Sirianni. They're 4-2.
Yeah. You know? They're not using Saquon Barkley enough, and yet Saquon Barkley's averaging like 150 yards a game over the last four games. It's just,
Me or you? Is it?
People in Philadelphia, Sean, I don't know if you're aware of this or not. This is what it is. It's Saquon Barkley's averaging 7.6 yards per carry over the last four games.
Oh, my God.
So I can appreciate where they might feel like, all right, yeah, let's feed him the ball even more, please.
Yeah.
But the Eagles are still one of the favorites to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And there's a lot good going on. I think their defense. This is a really interesting thing about these two teams right now. So Philadelphia and Cincinnati have both been embattled over the first part of the season, mm-hmm. not playing up to expectations. Over the last couple weeks, they've looked a lot better.
Yes.
Here's the thing. Both these teams over the past 2 weeks have both looked a lot better while playing the Giants and the Browns.
Oh, they played the same two teams. Okay.
Yes.
That's really interesting.
They've had common opponents over the last 2 weeks, and they're both really, really bad teams.
Oh,
so how much of it is real and how much of it is fugazi?
This is fun. This is like a high school jamboree, like round robin.
Yeah,
and these are the two teams that are left playing each other in the finals. Like this is an in-season tournament is what this is.
I was looking at it, and I'm looking at, wow, the Eagles defense hasn't allowed a touchdown in the last 2 weeks. I'm like, oh,
the worst.
the Giants and the Browns. Okay, I got you.
Worst in-season tournament ever. Browns, the Bengals, Eagles, defense, Giants.
The Bengals' defense has figured things out in the last 2 weeks, and then I'm looking at them. I'm like, wait a second. It's the
Watson.
Giants and the Browns again.
What
the hell is this?
Yep. Oh, it's funny. All right, so
it's like they both played. Yeah, in college, it would be like they both played MAC opponents in the previous 2 weeks.
Yeah. But,
yeah.
All right, let's get to the number two game on the board, the semi-main event. Give Stone Cold Steve Austin his just here with the entrance music. Chicago at Washington. Never thought I'd be saying this before the start of the season. I think this game probably held intrigue at the start of the season because we knew it would be Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels, the number one pick versus the number two pick, similar to last year when Bryce Young and CJ Stroud faced off. The difference with this game is these are two teams that are playing well. These are two teams that are that I believe would be in the playoffs if the season ended today, both being quarterbacked by these guys. And most importantly, Seth, these are two teams that are not winning in spite of their rookie quarterbacks. Particularly in Washington's case, they're winning very much because of their rookie quarterbacks, although we will not get Jaden Daniels this week because of the injury.
That's for sure.
We will get Marcus Mariota. Yeah. So,
who's also been playing well in this Cliff Kingsbury offense.
Yeah. So, he did. He had a really, really good game. So, Jaden Daniels has that rib injury. I believe he's going to miss. I don't know what he's listed as on the injury report.
I've seen it reported as unlikely to play or very good chance he doesn't play. Yep. No, it's with a rib injury, which I've been fighting through for the last 2 weeks. This is the NFL now, Jaden Daniels.
Right.
You can't get away. Look, you've got a slim and slender physique.
Seth.
You're going to have to learn how to deal with it.
Seth has been pounding through these radio shows with a broken rib. Because you...
I was the 2012 Sports Radio Rookie of the Year.
Right.
So Jaden Daniels is the presumptive Rookie of the Year right now. You got to be out there. Best ability is available.
And you're the front runner for the 2024 Ed Block Courage Award for radio. For battling through this rib injury.
Four head injuries and a broken rib, probably.
I mean, I don't think it's close.
In 1 week,
I don't think it's close.
Actually, I think Ted Johnson got Sports Radio Rookie of the Year in 2012.
You guys are both pretty good.
Up.
Yeah. I was at another station. I was very jealous watching
you
guys get to do your thing. Yeah, I told you. I was the biggest fan of Seth and Ted's Excellent Adventure, or whatever the hell it is you called it.
That was the best show that Mark Vandermeer has ever executive produced. He decided to put Seth...
put his name on it?
We're going to put Seth and Ted together in a studio with microphones.
It was
without
awesome.
Any clue what they're doing.
Yeah.
People enjoyed that.
It was great.
Ted and I got to revamp that. We'll bring that back. We need a sponsor.
Get him on your YouTube and just kind of workshop it a little bit, you know?
Okay.
Yeah. No, it was really good. You're welcome. The main event this weekend.
Well, what The Rock is cooking.
Dallas at San Francisco is the main event this weekend for me. And I know there's not a ton of games that involve teams with better records, like significantly better records, where you go, boy, that's more interesting than Dallas and San Francisco. These are two uniforms, if we're just looking at laundry, where you're like, all right, these are two blue bloods going against each other. These are also two blue bloods that are in... I don't want to say dire shape right now, but they're, I mean, look, big game for both these teams, man. Dallas is 3-3. I believe the Niners are 3-4, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, it's not an elimination game or anything like that, but both these teams need this game very, very, very badly.
Look, I think this game, to go back to just, you know, natural hatred for the Cowboys, this could be very ugly for the Cowboys. I think there's a couple matchups in this game that do not bode well for them. One, like Nick Bosa versus either of those offensive tackles is not a good matchup for the Cowboys. Nick Bosa plays both sides of the line. I think he's probably going to be deboing his way over to whichever one is weaker in this performance. So I think Nick Bosa goes off. And then offensively, the Cowboys defense has been bad versus outside zone, and the 49ers can run the outside zone.
Yeah.
And like all the things that you brought in Mike Zimmer specifically to combat, one of those was the outside zone, and it hasn't been working out that well at all. Jordan Mason is not Christian McCaffrey, but he's been very good on outside zone runs. The Cowboys have faced the fourth most outside zone runs this season. Why is that? Because they suck at it.
They're
bottom four in EPA per play allowed against such runs. I think the 49ers control this game on both sides of the line of scrimmage.
Okay. I like that. Yeah. Why is everybody blitzing the Texans all the time? Well.
Right, right. Yeah.
Well, San Fran, what do you think the line is on this game? I've got it in front of me.
I think it's probably, wait, it's in Dallas?
It's in San Francisco.
Oh, it's in San Francisco? I'd say -4.
It's -4. Yeah, you nailed it. Yeah, it's -4.
Yeah, I think they're more equally. I don't think they're as equal as the, which making them like relatively equal, you know, when you factor
in neutral
home field advantage. Yeah. I think the 49ers are a better team.
If you were one of those touts, this would be a best bet for you, it sounds like. You sound very confident the Niners are going to run away with this game.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Seth Payne, best bets right there.
Plus, there's probably going to be more 49ers fans there, too. I bet we'll get a little silent count out of the Cowboys.
Well, there will definitely be more 49ers fans in Santa Clara, I would say.
I went back to being in Dallas. Yeah, sorry.
That's okay.
In my head, it was in San Francisco. No matter how many times you say that it's in, gotcha. Sean, was I correct in my prediction?
No,
I'm going to be. There'll be more 49ers fans.
No, you're definitely right about that. I was
somehow in my head, I'm stuck in Dallas.
Yeah, I was in my mind. I'm going, okay, there's an angle with this. I'm going to tell Seth right now that the game's in California and hope I'm not
Seth
missing
bringing up
something
EPA
obvious.
Stats and then forgetting 20 seconds later that the game is actually in Santa Clara.
Quick text, a good lead in to 5 Reasons I Hate You. This goes back to you talking about Kurt Warner trying to tell people how to Twitter. People be more positive. Someone said Twitter is the Waffle House of social media. It's where you go to get into a fight.
I know it is.
Okay. It's so true.
Honestly, that's one of the best things one of the best things I've done for my mental health is that I flat out refuse to engage in debate on Twitter anymore.
That's smart.
I slip every now and then.
Yeah.
But I try to not do it with Texans fans or anything. Like, I'm just like, I'm not going to get into this because it's never ending.
Yeah.
And it's going to pivot off into 8 different directions. And I'm just not going to do it.
If you know it's not good for you, don't do it. Absolutely.
Yeah,
yeah. 5 Reasons I Hate You. I think these are all original that I've come up with here for the Colts. 5 Reasons I Hate You, Colts Edition, is coming up next.